Certainly good to see everyone out this morning. Nice day. I'd like to see this rain. Maybe sunshine's coming later. For our scripture reading this morning, we'd like to look to the 22nd chapter of Matthew. We begin with the 34th verse. Just prior to this, we find that Jesus was answering some questions about the resurrection, and he was dealing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and so forth, and he's still here dealing primarily here now with the Pharisees. But when they were talking previously up there, in verse 33, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. This is talking about the resurrection and those type of things. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's a tall order right there. Very tall order in any way we cut it. We find here that Christ summarizes the two tables of the law. Number one is responsibility to God, and number two, responsibility to man. You can almost break those into halves, into five and fives. But what he was doing here, what Christ was really doing, was paraphrasing Deuteronomy 6 and 5 and Leviticus 19 and 18. First says, "Love the Lord thy God." The second, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." So this thing wasn't just something he just pulled out of the air somewhere. This thing came from the Old Testament here. Now the phrase "with all thy heart" indicates the total being of a man, and that being the greatest commandment, it was of supreme importance and it's supreme priority, and it is for us today. We see Christ speaking here, telling us, you know, what is it that we're to do? There are many reasons why we should love God. First, we find we love because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. And here at this particular point, I'd like to emphasize that here, beginning this coming Wednesday night, we're beginning to study 1 John. A lot of things here that you're going to hear 1 John quoted several times throughout today here. But we'd like to encourage each and every one of you. You know, there's about less than a third of what we have here today will show up Wednesday night. You know, we come primarily today to take the Lord's table. We do that by example. We know that Paul happened to preach to them, but the main purpose is right here. Now, the church has set for Wednesday night, and that is strictly Bible study. So if we don't think we know all about the Bible, please think of some efforts maybe to try it out on Wednesday night. Again, now, there are several reasons. He first loved us. There's reason for this reciprocal love that we should be given back, because God gives us. We're told that He gives us every good and perfect gift. James 1 and 17. Now, when we get out and we view the beautiful sunshine, this beautiful rain is falling here this morning, we should be reminded of God's love. The mountains, the prairies, the lakes, the rivers, the oceans, the beaches, the trees, the birds, the animals. All of these are creations of God and are given to us as stewards for us to look after and to care for. We know that the best demonstration, perhaps, of God's love is seen in the sending of His Son to this world to die for our sins, that we might be reconciled or brought back to Him. You know, John 3:16, it's quoted over and over, perhaps the first verse that a young child may learn. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should have what? Everlasting life. I'm fearful that we just take that verse and we just throw it into memory and we don't really analyze what it's saying. What is it really saying? Now, God had to really love there to give His Son. His love is such a determining factor in the nature of God that the Apostle wrote, now this is Apostle Paul wrote, God is love. What is God? The answer is, God is love. Herein was the love of God manifest in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Again, quoting from 1 John 4:8-9. We are placed here on earth as God's creatures, made in His image to glorify Him. Let's listen to Solomon, supposedly the wisest man who ever lived. He searched throughout Ecclesiastes. And here in his concluding chapter, in chapter 13, he came up, he searched every avenue of what we should be doing and all. What is life? And what is all of those things? What did he come up with? Here the conclusion. Here's what he concluded was the final answer of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. These are some simple things, but not that easy to adhere to. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And as God loves us, so we must love God. Considering the love that God has for us and the requirements that we are to love Him, multitudes are led to say that they truly love God. A lot of people are saying they truly love God. Many apparently overlook the other teachings that is given on this particular subject. Their actions speak louder than their words or their saying, whatever. Simply because a person says he loves God doesn't make it so. Just doesn't make it so. God shows that many who claim to love Him do not love Him at all. God gives us some simple tests by which we can determine if we really love Him. We're going to look at some of those today. So, we've got four questions here we're going to look at. You test yourself at the end of this to see where you stand. Not where your neighbor stands, not where your husband or wife stands, but where do you stand? As you attempt to answer these questions that we have. It's a self-test. Nobody else is grading you. Nobody else can grade you. Nobody else really knows what's in your mind. Do you love your brother? If a man says, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. 1 John 4:20-21. If we are children of God, then we are in the same family with all of God's children. If we love the Father, we'll also love the children of the Father. 1 John 5:1. This is more than just a proof of our love for God. It's a requirement. Simply a requirement for that love. Jesus told His disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." John 13:34, 15, and 12. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Colossians 5:10. The Lord pictures that judgment scene in Matthew, the 25th chapter, if you'd like to read that scene, when He describes the separation of the righteous from the wicked. The basis of the judgment is shown to be what we do in this life. What we do in this life. "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Lord, when saw we thee hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? Inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." Now that's something we can do. It's something we're required to do. What's Jesus saying? When you're doing that, you're doing it for me. You're not doing it for yourself to get honor or anything else. You're doing it for me. So, if we love our brothers, we're talking about, do you love your brother here? If you love your brother, whatever their needs may be, we'll be trying to respond to those needs if we love them. The Apostle Paul shows the characteristics of love back in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Unselfish, long-suffering, without jealousy, look for good instead of bad, so forth. It goes on and on. These things must be in us as regards our brother if we love God. Now these questions may get a little bit harder as we go along. Do you love your neighbor? We'll conclude before this is over, who is your neighbor? Not your next door neighbor, perhaps. Some will strive to love their brothers, and they'll love their brothers, but they think very little or nothing about others. Now, the leaders of the Jews back in the New Testament time here, when Jesus was on earth and when this was going on, felt little concern for the Gentiles that were among them. But Jesus showed that to love God, we must also love our neighbor. Like some today, the lawyer here tried to justify himself by asking a question. Jesus... You're asking this directly to Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Some today make the same argument when Jesus answered in this story. The man going from Jerusalem to Jericho was robbed, beaten, and left half dead by the side of the road. While the priest and the Levite, now both of these were the same race, same religion, passed by on the other side. The Samaritan, he was of a different race and of a different religion, perhaps a false religion. Stopped to take care of this man. This story effectively shows that every person of every race is a neighbor to be loved. If we would love God, we're going to have to be loving our neighbors. And who is our neighbor? Seems like it's everybody, isn't it? If this story in Luke 10 certainly answers that question for me. But some today seem to think, argue that we're not required to help those who are not Christians. They're just sinners out there and fool with them. But this is not what Luke 10th chapter says. Read it for yourself and see. The Samaritan was of a different religion, as we've indicated, of a different race. But he was still a neighbor. The fact that his religion perhaps was wrong, as implied in John 4 and 22 that it was, did not change the fact that he was a neighbor to be able to love and to be loved. As inspired apostle later wrote, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good towards who? All men. All men. And especially towards them that are the household of faith." Galatians 6 and 10. Certainly to love God demands that we love and serve our brothers in Christ. But our responsibility just doesn't end there. To love God, we must also love our neighbors, and we're to serve them. Now here's a third question. This one does get tough. Do you love your enemy? Do you love Saddam Hussein? Suppose that he's our enemy. Let's see what Jesus might tell us about loving our enemy. Saddam bin Laden, a whole bunch, the terrorists and all of those. Should we love those folks? Let's keep that in mind as we go through this. So, that test, we've had two questions. We might pass the test here without a whole lot of trouble. But what of this one? Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you." If you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? Matthew 5, 43, 46. What is your reaction when somebody cheats you? Just plain out cheats you. What about people that lie to you? Now this is getting closer to home, may happen to you. We don't have to go over to Saddam. What about people that curse you? What would be your reaction? How do you react to someone who is constantly bitter toward you? You know they hate you. What's your reaction? What did Jesus say? Jesus says, love. There's stiff requirements here, isn't it? And he gave us the wonderful example while hanging on the cross. Looking down for those who he cried, "Crucify him, crucify." Those people were saying, "Crucify him, crucify." He was looking down now at those people. What did he say? And also to those who drove the nails. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." You suppose Saddam doesn't know what he's doing? I don't know. Jesus loved us and went to the cross to die for us while we were yet sinners. If you're a sinner, you're an enemy. Romans 5, 8, and 10. Now he tells us to love your enemies. Love your enemies. We are encouraged to follow in the steps of Jesus. 1 Peter 2, 21 and 24. It's like we're having a lot of this 1 John here today, doesn't it? But we do encourage you to come back Wednesday night. We'll try to give you a more in-depth dose. But this involves an attitude that leads to a life of true love. Have this in mind in you, which is also in Christ. The Apostle Paul writes of this spirit that Christians should have. Let love without hypocrisy. Abhor that or hate that which is evil. Cleave or hang on to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affected one to another. Render no man evil for evil, but if thine enemy thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Now here with Paul speaking in Rome, or perhaps Paul, in Romans 12, 9 through 21. Long dissertation there. Instead of seeing the ugliness and evil in the lives of others, let us learn to see a soul for whom Jesus died on the cross for. He died for all of those out there. Let's try to look at those as souls that Jesus has created. And there's possibility there. We might have a chance to change their attitude, and thus we may become a means of trying to win them to Christ. Now, final question, number 4. Do you fully obey God? Underlining fully, not partially. True love demands service. God loved us and gave His Son to die for us. If we love God, we're going to serve Him. Some try to change the wording of this scripture to make Him say that obedience is a proof of our love. We see this, we hear this. But love is more than an emotion that prompts us to do something. It is the power that acts. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. 1 John 5 and 3. Keeping the commandments of God is more than proof of our love. It is love. Obeying God is loving God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Just that simple, He said. If you love me, you keep my commandments. To love God, as Jesus said, Matthew 22 and 37, meaning do it. It just simply means doing what He tells us to do. The love demanded by our Lord was love that included the whole being of man, not just the emotions. It included reasoning. It included the mind here. It's the physical service. We're talking about the strength, his emotions, his heart, and his spiritual strength, his soul. As John wrote, let us not love in word, neither with a tongue, but in deed and truth. 1 John 3 and 18. Trying to imply here, I think, that it's easier to live in word, it's easier to say something than it is to do these others, isn't it? In word or tongue, but live in deed and in truth. People may say, I love God, but I just don't think we have to do exactly what He says. They often try to make themselves wiser than God by picking out the non-essentials of the teaching of Christ. They then justify that by saying, God doesn't look at outward man. He just doesn't look at the outward man. It's what's in the heart that counts with Him. While it's true that God looks on the heart, it's also true that God demands that we obey from the heart. Romans 6 and 17. Jesus said that we must love God with all of your heart. Matthew 22, 37. And the Lord is still asking, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? You're not following my commandments. You're calling me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing the things which I say. Luke 6 and 46. Sometimes it seems to be easier just to pick out what we'd like to do and do that and say, well, I'm doing what's said in the Bible. But we're stopping short. Can't stop short. When one is led by the teaching of God, which reveals His great love for us, to love God, there's no command too grievous to obey. And that's 1 John telling us that again in 1 John 5 and 3. He believes Jesus to be the Christ. John 8 and 24. He willingly repents. Luke 13 and 3. And just as willingly is baptized into Christ. Mark 16 and Romans 6 and 3. He thus loves God with his heart, his mind, his strength, and his soul, as indicated in Mark 12 and 30. Some think God's requirements are too strict, but that is because of a lack of love on their part, 1 John tells us. Because we love God, we surrender our will to His, and we'll live for Him. So again, we get back to the test here. We examine ourselves. This is an individual thing. Try your own selves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. So he's telling us, you know, here, try your own selves. Test your own self, what he's saying. That's what we indicated here. You know, test yourself. This is a self-test. Do you really love God? How do you rate on these four questions that we've tried to look at here this morning? You'll have to do that. I urge you to continue to test yourself and see, day by day. God help us all to love Him as He wants us to love Him. Thank you for your very kind attention this morning. If there's anyone here this morning that's subject to the gospel in any manner whatsoever, if you want to, the church is available. We ask you to come while we stand and sing the selected hymn.